2 of a 3-week short series and called Living Generously. And we're looking at, last week we looked at giving. This week we're looking, of course, at thanksgiving. And next week we'll be looking at forgiving. Giving, thanksgiving, and forgiving. And last week we talked about how God is a generous God, and if we're going to live as followers of Christ and members of the household of God, as part of God's royal family, if we're going to be part of His family, we ought to live lives of radical generosity that reflect the heart of our Father, right? We ought to be like our Father. As givers, not takers. That was last week's message. But it leads us well into our topic for this week. Because takers think that they are owed. Givers know that they are recipients of the grace that they do not deserve. And this is the driving force behind living a thankful life. Rather than being entitled and feeling like the world owes me, everyone owes me, God owes me, but living as though every breath we take, everything that we have, every relationship we enjoy is the grace of God at work in our lives, and we are thankful, right? Well, I want to say, first of all, this morning, that that thankfulness is more than just good manners. Thankfulness is more important than I think we can even imagine. It is vital to what it means to live as children of God. It's vital to what it means to be Christians and followers of Christ in this world. Thankfulness is more important than we can imagine. Thanksgiving is not just an optional accessory to the list of good character traits. I think sometimes we treat it like that, right? We know how important love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know, faith, hope, and love. I mean, we know how important all those things are, but somehow I think thankfulness just feels like this accessory. Well, it's nice if we remember to say thankful, to say thank you, right? It's easy to forget about it, I think, too, because in our culture, it's also really treated as optional. People have become so used to entitled attitudes that it's almost a refreshing surprise when someone says thank you, right? That's not how it ought to be for the follower of Christ. That thankfulness is the native tongue of the kingdom of God. Thankfulness keeps God in the center of our attention. It's a recognition that God is our creator, our provider, and the source of every good gift that comes into our lives. And when we begin to lose thankfulness, our hearts begin to turn from God. I'll say that again because I think you might have missed it if I don't repeat it. When we begin to lose thankfulness, our hearts begin to turn from God. I'll give you some scripture for that. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 20, Paul writes this: "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." So in other words, all that God is, we can see manifest and demonstrated in the things, the beauty of What we saw out there this morning as we drove to church, right? So that people are without excuse, Paul writes. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened, and they began to worship themselves and the world instead of God. Right? So, in the Bible, we see thankfulness all through the Psalms, and we find it at key moments in the Old Testament, key moments of manifestations of God's presence. We find it in regular instruction from God in both the Old and New Testament. So it is vital. It's more than just manners. In fact, the worship that's happening around the throne of God is described this way. Revelation 7, 11 to 12. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and around the four living creatures. And they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So Thanksgiving is more than just manners. It's also access to God's presence. We often read this passage, Thanksgiving Sundays, but it's an everyday passage, folks. It's a walk it out passage. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Last week we talked about giving and how that act of generosity is vital to reflecting the heart of God and the grace of God in our lives. Did you know that God gave instructions about our giving when it comes to coming into God's presence in worship? That's a little startling. Listen to these words. This is God speaking to the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, he said, No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Isn't that interesting? Powerful. I'm going to read that again. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. In other words, they would come into God's presence bringing something to say thank you to God. And God said, it's vital to come into my presence with an expression of thanksgiving. And so we come into God's presence not to take from him, but to give to him. Now, I'm not saying we don't receive things when we come into God's presence? Of course we do. But our motivator, our driver should be to come into God's presence to give. Right? To give, yes, tithes and offerings, to give love and obedience, to give worship and adoration. We come with a generous heart to give out of an attitude of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving towards God. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. And that's not just talking about going through the gates of the temple 2,000 years ago or walking through the doors of the church. But do you understand, beloved, that you are a mobile temple of God? Do you understand that? That if you know Christ as your Savior, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you can access the presence of God. He is as close as the mention of His name. And the way that we access His presence, our pass card into His presence, is thanksgiving. If you need strength, if you need wisdom, if you need protection, if you need peace in the middle of a challenging day or a challenging week, just begin to lift up thanks to Him. And you will crack open the door, the portal into His presence. Why is thanks the passcode? Why is it so important? Do you understand that you are, if you know Christ as your Savior, I don't want to make any assumptions today, but if you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of the living God. You have been adopted. You are His. You belong to Him. You are no longer a slave. You are a child of God. And you do not need to beg and plead for God's provision and protection and action in your lives. When I hear someone praying, begging and pleading prayers, I know that that person has not yet received a real revelation of how much the Father loves them. Second Peter 1 verse 3 says, His divine power has given us. Say that with me this morning. Has given us. His divine power has given us. Not will, not might, not could, not has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So rather than, God, I don't know if I can handle this situation. I'm so scared of what will happen. Will you please be with me? Will you please give me strength? Will you please give me peace? How about, God, I thank you that you have given me everything I need as I walk into this situation. I thank you that your peace that passes understanding will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I thank you that you have given me wisdom equal to the task that you have given me. Thank you that your anointing rests upon my life, and I trust you to accomplish your purpose through me today. Amen? That is that thankfulness, rather than begging and pleading, that thankfulness taps into God's presence in faith, because we're coming from a position of knowing that we are His sons and daughters. There is a reason the words that we find in this passage, Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, are some of the most repeated words of worship in all of the Bible. Some of you have heard me say this before. I say it probably every Thanksgiving Sunday and many Sundays in between. But it's something I think we need to be reminded regularly. That these words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, are repeated over and over in the Old Testament as the most repeated phrase of worship in the Bible. And there's a reason for it. In fact, twice, not just once, twice, when the temple was that Solomon built, when the temple was built, the worship team begins, it's described in the scriptures, the worship team begins to sing this song, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And the cloud of God's presence flooded the temple so strongly that the priests were flat on the ground and could not do the work they were supposed to be doing. And then the second time it's described in the dedication ceremonies of the temple, they begin to sing the song again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And fire comes from heaven and burns up the offering on the altar. Because folks, thanksgiving accesses the presence of God in a way that nothing else does. Thirdly, thanksgiving overcomes division. I'm going to read. No, it's not there. Okay. So listen to this passage. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ, and Paul is writing, when he's talking about peace here, he's talking about peace in the church. Because people were at each other's throats a bit. Right? So he's talking about getting along. And he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. In other words, you were called to get along, right? Members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Isn't that an interesting tag onto that passage, right? I'm going to read that again all together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So many divisions and arguments in churches result from un-Christ-like lack of humility. A sense of entitlement that says, this is all about me, rather than this is all about Christ and his mission. Right? When we walk out of church saying, well, I didn't like that song. Did you know we weren't worshiping you? Right? We were worshiping Jesus. Whether you like the song or not really doesn't matter a whole lot. Did it bring a smile to his face? Did it bring joy to him? Right? I didn't like what the pastor had to say, or I didn't, you know, it was too warm, it was too cold, or it was what, you know. But you and I are not the object of what we do here. Jesus is. Right? And as much as we aren't setting out to make anyone uncomfortable or irritate anyone, your personal comfort is not our primary consideration in all the decisions we make as we get ready for a Sunday. Right? But we want to know, was Jesus lifted up? Was he pleased with our words? Was he pleased with our actions, with our songs, with our giving, with our treatment of each other? And when we're critical instead of thankful, it not only creates division and hostility in the church, the opposite of peace, but it also begins to shut down the heart of generosity in our own hearts. Now, does that mean we can never express our opinion? Of course not. We always want to do things better, and if you've got an observation that will help us, we would gladly hear it. Not about shutting down voices, but it would be most helpful if you come with a heart of thankfulness and gratitude and kindness and generosity and say, what about this? Right? Rather than criticism and complaining. Because that creates division. Fourthly, I think. Strengthening each other. This is an interesting one. 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 13. If you're following in Bibles or Bible apps, 1 Corinthians 14, 13 to 17. I'm going to read some stuff that's not entirely relevant, but it's the context, so hang with me here. Paul writes this, "For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified." So the whole speaking in tongues and all of that, that's another message for another day. But Paul lets us in on a little secret by accident as he's writing about that other stuff. That one of the most important things about giving thanks in the corporate gathering is to edify other people. People need to hear testimonies of the things that God is doing in your life because they are edified. That means built up, they are edified and strengthened by your story. I'm better able to believe for a miracle in my life if I hear how God moved in your life in a miracle. My faith is stirred up and something inside me begins to say, why not me? Right? In fact, it's often observed that if a specific kind of healing happens in a gathering, a healing, for example, in the knee, someone's knee is healed. If one happens, it's likely that more miracles of that kind will happen in the same meeting because people will believe that if they can do it, if God can do that for my knee, he could, for his knee, they could do it for mine, right? And so when we give thanks for the things that God is doing, right, share the stories of what God has done for you. And you'll strengthen your brothers and sisters. And lastly, thanks in every situation. Thanks in every situation. And put a couple scriptures up here. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking," then the words up, "speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit." And then up there it says, "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's be honest. There are some things in your life that you do not want to give thanks for, aren't there? Maybe there's someone in your life you're not sure you want to give thanks for, right? Right? But the scriptures tell us, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 5 as well. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I can't tell you how many times in 32 years of pastoring I've had someone come to me and say, Pastor, I'm praying for the Lord's will. I just want to know His will. I'm seeking His will in this situation. I need to know what He wants me to do, you know. And young people, when I was a youth pastor, I mean, this was huge. I want to know God's will, who He wants me to marry, and who, you know, where He wants me to move to, and what job He wants me to do, and so on and so on and so on, right? We want to know God's will. But sometimes I think we go to God seeking His will, and He's like, you didn't do the things I already told you were my will, so why would I tell you the next step? Right? There are some things that we're told really plainly in Scripture that are God's will for our lives. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So how do we do that? When we're walking through something that's difficult, when we're hitting a faith challenge at something that's, you know, we're just not sure what's going on, and the scriptures tell us to give thanks in this circumstance. This, folks, I want you to, if you didn't hear anything else I heard today, lean in, listen to this. Because I think this is where thanksgiving has literally the power to change your life. Because it is one thing to have a thankful attitude when we get something we wanted. Right? When a prayer is answered, when a miracle happens, when the sun comes out. Right? But that is thermometer thanksgiving. That is thanksgiving that goes up when the environment goes up. When things go good, then thanksgiving goes up. That's being led by our environment and responding to our environment, responding to the things that happen in our lives and that happen around us. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with celebrating and thanking God for the good things that He has done in our lives. But thermometer thanksgiving, thermostat thanksgiving is thanksgiving that changes the environment of your life. By responding to all circumstances, even the ones we don't like, with humble surrender to the purpose of God in our lives and thankful trust that God is here with me, in me, for me, even now, even in this, and He knows what He is doing. When we are able to lock ourselves into the goodness of God, even when the environment and the circumstances around us are against us or feel against us, feel negative, feel difficult, and we're able to be a thermostat thinker instead of just a thermometer thinker. We had a thermometer, it fell off this summer. It's no longer out there. But we had a thermometer, one of those dial things on our deck. We could look out the window, the kitchen, and see what the temperature was outside so we knew whether to put a jacket on or not. Right? If I went out to the deck and I grabbed the arm on that thermometer and cranked it up because I wanted it to be warmer, it's not going to do much, is it? It's just going to bounce back, Robert. That's right. It's not going to change anything because it's just a thermometer. But when we grab the thermostat, in our house it's a remote, right? And you turn up the heat. Pam and I, we cannot get it together on whether the house is supposed to be warmer or colder, I tell you. Every time I touch it, I'm in trouble because I'm doing the wrong thing. Yeah. But we are called, ladies and gentlemen, this goes back to that being, walking in our inheritance as sons and daughters and not being slaves. Remember we talked about that a few minutes ago? Not begging and pleading prayers, but thankful prayers that declare the goodness of God, right? That we are called to be people who are not just victims of our environment, but that we lead our environment. We change the environment of the places where we go because of Christ who lives in us. And one of the ways, one of the huge ways that we do that is through thanksgiving. That when something hits your life and you don't, you're like, God, what is going on? Just begin to thank Him. God, I know You're good. Thank You, God, for Your peace right now. Thank You, God, for Your presence with me. Thank You for the joy that I have in You, because Your joy is my strength. Thank You, God, that I can trust You. Thank You that You have a plan in this that I can't see right now, but I know You've got a plan. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 actually tells us that a key to overcoming anxiety, anybody able to use that? You want that key? Right? Key to overcoming anxiety and a key to answered prayer is to present our requests with thanksgiving. To present our requests with thanksgiving. And when we do that, the peace of God will move into our hearts to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Praying with thanksgiving is declaring by faith that God has heard and God will answer. We'll talk in a minute, Robert, okay? Yeah, you and I will talk in a little bit, okay, Robert? Okay, thank you. The question that I want to leave with you, and let's stand this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. The question that I want to leave us with this morning And that's not it, because that's the one I left there from last week. The question is on the bottom of your paper, and it's something like, how this week can you begin to move your heart from a place maybe of entitlement or maybe of fear? An anxiety, maybe of a position of feeling like a slave who has to beg and plead from the heart and the hand of God. How can you begin to shift your life to a place of thanksgiving in every area of your life? Because, folks, that is God's will. And that is the key, the pass card that will unlock in your life the next level of God's presence. So let's pray. God, I thank you today. Thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Thank you that you are at work in our lives, God, even in the seasons that we don't understand and in the seasons that may not make sense to us, but God, you are at work in us. I thank you, Father, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, that you have always our best in your heart, that you are for us and not against us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that today we would grab hold of this truth. We would grab hold of this reality in our lives. That we would learn how to center our minds and our hearts on the goodness of God in every season. And that, Father, you would lead us daily, regularly access your presence through thanksgiving. I want us to sing together just a part of a song this morning.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Sing it again. God, you're so good.
Oh, God.
Let's declare it this morning. Declare it this morning. Especially if you're facing something where you need to anchor your thoughts and your heart in the goodness of God.
God, you're so good.
life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember. What Calvary has bought for me, both now and
amazing love that welcomes me.